a rather dramatic gospel, I think. I purposely read the long form because it's not something that we often hear. Many times, if we attend a funeral, we might hear the shortened version of the story of Lazarus. But the long version, we really only have the opportunity to hear every 3 years in this season of Lent. The reason that I thought that the long form was so valuable is because it is so much more rich in its drama. The story is kind of set up with Jesus and his disciples recognizing if he were to go back to Judea, he would face death because the people there had rejected him and had previously tried to stone him. And then the tension that exists in the sickness of someone who meant a great deal to Jesus, kind of drawing Jesus and his disciples back to that dangerous place. The interesting thing to me is I'm constantly trying to figure out what is it that's going on in the gospel inside of Jesus. Specifically, I'm curious about why is he perturbed twice? I think the challenge of being perturbed or being agitated or being frustrated or thrown off your mark is significant, particularly for Jesus and in John's gospel, where if we look at the rest of the gospel, Jesus always seems so aware and so confident and so calm. So for him to be perturbed in this story, I think suggests some significance. One of the things that I think is interesting is this idea of the tension that exists between death and life. In the beginning of the gospel, Jesus says, "This illness will not end in death." And yet, in the story, Lazarus dies. At the end of the story, when Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out," the gospel says, "The dead man came out, bound hand and foot." That intrigued me, and I wondered, what is that about? What is the gospel trying to tell us? I went back and I read a few books, and in the Old Testament, there was some tension among the Jews about what death meant, what life meant. And unfortunately, for most of the Jews in that time, death meant the end. It meant that you were over. You were done. The tension among other cultures and belief systems in that time was that something happened after life that became glorious and a resting place. For example, the pyramids in Egypt were built with elaborate tombs. And many religious sects had elaborate rituals when someone died, suggesting that when one died, they moved into a place of rest that was a place of excess, glory, sumptuousness, with all the comforts of a life experience. And I think that perhaps what Jesus is perturbed about is he's just thinking they don't get it. They don't get it because their vision of the afterlife is tied to an experience of life here on earth. The vision of the afterlife means that you have everything you want, more than enough to eat, all of the best. But at the end of the story, when the dead man comes out of the tomb, Jesus says, "Untie him and let him go." I think what Jesus is trying to suggest is that the real glory of God is something that is not bound to this earth. The real glory of God is something that transcends anything we could possibly imagine in terms of our pleasurable experience here on earth. I'd like to suggest to you that at this period in Lent, where we begin to look forward to Holy Week, which begins next Sunday, this period in Lent, the appropriateness of this gospel is really about just a gentle reminder of what we've been doing for the last 5 weeks. A gentle reminder of how important it is for us to keep a wonderful experience of this world in context. And in context, the wonderful experience of this world is passing. It does end. But what lies beyond is something that we can't even imagine in terms of joy. Because what lies beyond is what Jesus is trying to help us connect. And that is the connection with our God. Living in the presence of our God for all eternity. It's not an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's something we can't even imagine. And so when Jesus talks about the dead man coming out of the tomb, and the reason Jesus allows Lazarus to die was not to work some form of magic to bring Lazarus back from the dead so that he can walk amongst the people. That's why I think the story kind of ends abruptly. If you were there and you had the chance to see Lazarus resuscitated and walk out of his tomb, I would suspect you'd have a pretty sumptuous party ahead of you. But all they talk about here is that people came to believe. The light went on for people. We're being invited to allow the light to go on for us. And the light is about coming to this table where we partake of bread and wine that is transformed into something different. The essential thing is the bread and the wine become different in order for us to become different. So the invitation for us is to look at death as something entirely different. Our death is not a transition from when we experience this life and experience all the joys of this life in more abundance, but an experience of this life in sin passing into an eternal life in the presence of God. And what could that mean for us? So I'd like to invite you, as you receive the Eucharist today, and as you spend this final week of Lent, contemplate what God is inviting you to in eternal life. What is your vision of being in the presence of God? And I'd like to challenge you to think about if that vision has something to do with an abundance of what you like here. It's time to stay in that vision and revisit it. Because perhaps God is inviting you to be transformed in a whole new way, so that you are not bound to this earth and bound to the experience, the wonderful experience that comes from living on this earth. But you're being invited to be untied and unbound from this world and truly set free.